What a wonderful day that we gather here again to worship and praise the Lord. We want to welcome all of you, whether you're here at the sanctuary or however you're tuning in. Thank you for joining us today in Central Study Hour. As we begin the study hour, let's sing a song we titled My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. This song reminds us when life feels uncertain, our hope is not in our strength, but in Jesus Christ and in His righteousness. Please join us in singing hymn number 522, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Let's sing all stanzas. You, if you have a favorite hymn, please visit our website and send your hymn request by visiting our website at saccentral.org. Click contact us and scroll down to CSH hymn request. Let us know your name, where you're from, and the title of the hymn. We'll be happy to sing your hymn request on the upcoming Sabbath. Let's sing a song with title "All Worship the King." This SDA hymnal number 83, let's sing stanza 1, 2, and 4. Please join us.
Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above, oh, gratefully sing with wonderful love, our shield and
pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all the blessings that you have given to us, Lord. And thank you for giving us hope when this life feels so uncertain. In this time, Lord, we would like you to be with us and your Holy Spirit and guide one of our leaders here, Brad Stebbins, that will lead us in Central Study Hour today. And be with us so we can understand your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Central Study Hour today will be presented by Brad Stebbins, lessons number 5, Shining as Lights in the Night. I hope you have a blessed study.
Hello and welcome to Central Study Hour here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is wonderful to be here with everybody, and thank you all for joining us from wherever you're joining us, whether you're listening or watching us or here in the audience today. We thank you so much. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to present this message, this quarterly, to all of you in this lesson today. So today we will be going over lesson number 5 in our new, semi-new quarterly, right, to us, which is Uniting Heaven and Earth, Christ in Philippians and Colossians. And we will be going over lesson number 5. The title of lesson number 5 is Shining as Lights in the Night. And if you enjoy, after listening to this or watching it, if you enjoy this lesson, or you think this lesson would be good for somebody else and you'd like to share it, we do offer a free CD or DVD of this recording, and we would love to be able to send that out to you. You can give us your information. You can call us up at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org, and make sure to give us the offer number. The offer number for today for lesson number 5 is number C202605. So give us that offer number. Let us know where you would like us to ship it, name, address, and all that, and we would love to be able to send you a free CD or DVD of this recording for yourself or to share with somebody else. Okay, so lesson number 5. I really enjoyed this lesson this week. It was very uplifting. It was something that's, I think it's for every single one of us and wherever we're at, kind of at different levels, is, you know, shining as lights, right, in the night. We consider this world to be a dark place, but we can still shine as lights. The lesson starts off with a memory text, and that is out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And I'll go ahead and read that straight out of the lesson. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." That's what we're called to do, shine as lights in the world. And this week's lesson, as we were going over it, I was often reminded of different times when I was able to see light. And it brought back memories of one of the most joyful and wonderful experiences that I'll ever have in my life. And that was to be able to go down to Mexico and be a part of a mission. The mission was wonderful. It was being able to build a church down there in Mexico, to live there. We were almost there for a month. But what was so spectacular about that trip was we actually stayed on the beach for a month. We camped on the beach, and then we would drive 20 minutes up onto a volcano. We actually built this church on a volcano. It was an active volcano, but it didn't have all those types of eruptions. But we got to stay probably 3 to 4 hours away from any close city, and there were no big cities around. So I got to see something every night that I've never gotten to see again in my life, which was the beautiful sky at night. Because when you are in a very, very remote place where there's no light pollution, where there's nothing, we could see just this incredible sky. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to see the sky like that, but it is spectacular. If I live here in Sacramento, if I go out at night on a clear night and look straight up, I could probably see maybe, 200, 500 stars and just little tiny specks, right? But when I was in this trip in Mexico and looking up, I could see, you couldn't even count how many stars, just billions. We could see the whole Milky Way. And it was like throughout the night that it moved. It almost made me almost kind of nauseous at first, and almost like I would want to fall over because you're just looking up at this immense, incredible, wonderful light with the browns and the blues, and you're seeing the whole Milky Way. And it was an incredible experience to be able to see that. There was one thing in the sky that was brighter than everything, and we got to see it. This was in, 1997. It was when the Hale-Bopp comet passed by the Earth. So we got to see this comet unfiltered with just this bright, huge ball and this tail, and it was beautiful. It was so sad to actually to get back to the U.S. and get into the news and figure out what had happened. But while we were watching it, it was just unbelievable to be able to look up and see the stars on that dark night. There was actually a couple of nights where there was no moon, and it was even more spectacular. And that kind of got me thinking, right? We're all called to be kind of stars. We're all called to be light, to be able to shine in this dark world. And it kind of started me thinking about, I think you probably have all seen it, kind of the satellite views or maybe a camera view of a city when it's dark out. I do a lot of flying for work. So I have to fly at night sometimes, and you're up above, you're 30,000 feet and you're looking down and you see all these cities, right? You can see all of these bright lights, and around the cities you have all of this, all of these lights. And then as you go out, there's not as many lights. And sometimes you'll see in the middle of nowhere, complete, utter darkness. And when you're in the plane and then you look down and you can see that one farm that has a light on it. And so I started thinking about how wonderful that is. It's beautiful to be able to see that. And I started thinking about, does God see us like those lights, right? We see physical lights and the darkness and those satellite views, but does God and do the angels and everybody, do they look down at us like this, in this dark world, and they see us as lights, right? All of the Christians that are out there as lights. And I started to think, I wonder if it's the opposite, right? Because you have, if you're looking at Christians as lights and you're looking at Seventh-day Adventists as lights, the cities are where they're densely populated, you're probably not going to have as many as you would come in rural areas and stuff like that. So it just started getting my mind wondering about how we are viewed at night. In this dark world. Hopefully we are all doing our part and shining our lights as much as we can. And we'll get into the lesson. I just kind of wanted to, really set the stage here on, we are talking about being lights. And I think the ultimate example of what this lesson is kind of trying to tell us is we all need to be like lighthouses. A lighthouse saves lives. Right? Today with modern technology and GPS, lighthouses might not be as critical as they once were before. But a lighthouse is put in a remote area to be able to guide in ships around rocky areas, around all the areas where they could, they could be run on land, or, where they need to get into port. The lighthouses were very important. And there were always people that were manning those lighthouses to be able to have ships be guided in the storms. And everybody's going through storms. I mean, we all have them in our lives, issues that we have. We all know people that are going through issues. And for the other people that are going through storms, we want to be like that lighthouse, and we want to guide people nicely in, follow, come up to where the lighthouse is, follow the nice path right into a safe harbor where you will find Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and where you can be with him, and you will be protected from all the winds, protected from all the waves. The storm's still going to be there, but you're going to be in a really nice spot. So I kind of look at this lesson as kind of as us being lighthouses to the world, to shine that bright light, to bring people into safety. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Right? So he is the one that gives light to the world, but we can also be that light as well. We're not going to be as bright as him, but we are also going to be able to be lights in this world. He also says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. And he's talking to us. He's talking to his disciples. We can be the light of this world. It's humbling, right? That we can be a light that can shine for Jesus, for God. And we can do that. So the question is for all of us, right, before we start going over into the lesson, are we that light? Are we actually light to this world at all? Do we matter? Has anybody seen Christ in us? Have we been able to help anybody that is in this dark world? We just need to start reflecting on that, right? And for all of us, it's individually. And, you know, sometimes we can go through stages where, yeah, we shine bright, but then, the candle gets a little dim, right? Then we kind of can drop off. But Jesus calls us to be lights. That's what he calls us to do. And that's what this lesson is all about. So if you want to open up your lessons and follow along, we're going to go through most of the lesson here. Some of it I'm just going to kind of skip over because I don't think it really has to do with what the title of the lesson is. It kind of gets us a little sidetracked, but I want to stay centralized on the light and having our light shine in this world. So Sunday, if you have your lesson, Sunday's lesson is a great title. I love this title. It says, we work out, God works in. I'll say that one more time. We work out what God works in. So let's see what that means. Let's go through this lesson and let's see what this means, what this title means and what it's talking about. If the lesson brings us to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, and it says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So this is Paul speaking here. And what Paul is saying here, and he is basically saying, you guys, you, the church, the people, you guys have to work out this salvation thing. This is on you. You have to work out this salvation thing. It's you individually. It's on you to figure this whole thing out. God's going to be there. He's going to be helping. You've got me as a helper, as an example. But this is going to be on you. You are the ones that have to understand this whole thing about salvation, what we're talking about here. And salvation is, I think, today still a topic that is kind of, it's debated. It's how do we gain salvation? What are the important things that we need to do? You know, some people, we've talked about this many times, not just here, but in individual conversations, in sermons, and in the Word. Some people have this thing about, doing works to gain salvation. We have to do things to gain salvation. But what this is saying is we have to work out our salvation. It's not saying we have to work for our salvation. The salvation is not something that we have to put in a 9-to-5 in order to get. There's not a certain criteria of things that we need to do constantly all the time with a checklist that we need to do for our salvation. There's a lot of basic things that we need to do for our salvation, but people can use this text and say, yeah, we need to do works. We need to do all these things. And, we've all talked about this. The works come after the we fall in love with God and we get with him. And we start doing works not for some type of a return. We do them because we love him and we're with him. So Paul is saying here is like, hey, you guys need to work this out. This whole salvation thing, it's with you guys. And God will be there. It says God is going to will us to do this, right? And to will someone means to strongly desire or intend for somebody to do something. So God is there and he's going to help us. Many of us, when we're trying to gain salvation and we're trying to come closer to him, he is there with us. He desires us to be saved. He wants to be with us. So, going back to the main title of what the lesson is to be shining light in the night. In order to be shining lights in the night or shining lights, we have to have a relationship with God himself. There is the second to the last paragraph. I found this here, and I think it puts it very well. So I wanted to go ahead and read that to you. So second to the last paragraph on Sunday, it says this. It says, without question, salvation is God's work. And we can take absolutely no credit for it ourselves. Even faith itself is a gift, encouraged through the work of the Holy Spirit. Our own works cannot save us. However, through the new birth, God recreates us spiritually, enabling us to do good works. God's Spirit works in us, empowering our will to choose right, to resist temptation, and to make the right choices. So for us to work out what God works in is to figure this all out, because it's almost like a mathematical equation. And we, God gives us the equation and he's saying, okay, you need to figure this out. Which I don't like because I'm very bad at math. But he gives us this kind of this equation that we need to figure out. This equation of what salvation is. We need to figure it out. We need to realize that he is the one that died for us. That he is the one that is helping us. There's very little that we can do. It is a gift that he is giving. Our works cannot save us. Which may be bad news for some people. What we do cannot save us because it's all with him. So then we have to work it out, right? Because obviously we can't stay the same people before and after when we meet the Lord there. We need to do works, but it's not to gain salvation. What we need to do works for is to be in contact with him, in communion with him, and to share his word, and to be a light. And all of this will come naturally. If you have a ongoing relationship with God and you love him, you're going to do things because that's part of you now. Helping out people is part of you. It's not a work that you're doing to be saved. But it's something that you're going to do because you love him and he has changed you. He has become a part of you. So all of this equation, we all need to figure out. All right, how are we a part of this equation? And at the end, right, it says that we need to work this all out. And it says, and we need to do this with fear and trembling, right? Which are kind of unique words to express, right? Love and God and working with God. We need to do it with fear and trembling. Fear is like, as we understand fear, most of the time it's kind of, whoa, we're scared of something. It's a feeling and something that can disturb us. But this is not the fear that it's talking about. It's not, you know, have you ever gotten so scared or so worked up, you start to shake, right? The trembling. But really, we're not supposed to be scared of God and just do things and work with him because, hey, if we don't do things, we're not going to go to heaven or we're going to get punished for these things. No, that's not why we do things. So basically, what fear and trembling means is to have a high sense of responsibility in doing his work, right? When you're scared of something, you do things out of fear. So this is kind of a high sense of responsibility to do his work, to be out there and do it because, not because you're scared, but because you want to do it, because you know it's important. And our works and the things that we do are not to gain salvation, but it's kind of a good measure on, are we taking this serious or not? Because if we hear the message and we invite God to be a part of our lives, but then we don't do anything with it, then we're not really taking it serious. Because that we're only getting half of this. Because not only do we need to understand this, once we understand this, we're called to share this. And those are the works that we want to do. All the works are to be able to share all of this. And I started thinking about when we were going over this lesson, why does God want our lights to shine? Why does God want us to go out and do this? Do you think it's for him? Or is it for us? My opinion is God wants us to do this for us. I don't know if you've ever been able to give somebody a Bible study and share the word of God with somebody and have their lives changed from when you met them to them being baptized and then to be able to have a changed character and working with God. It's an amazing feeling. And it's something that you can feel good about. When we go out and we do missionary work and we're out there and we're sharing the word of God, we are the ones that get a lot of the benefit. We feel good about it. So God doesn't only want us to be lights to be able to share him. He does it for our own benefit and because he wants others to benefit. And it's probably one of the healthiest things that we can do is to not think of ourselves, but to think of others. And to share the one thing that can save a person's life. And sometimes we don't know. When we're sharing, we don't know the fruits of our labors. I have just been in contact recently with one of my employees that worked for me probably 10, 12 years ago. And when I met him, he was homeless and living with his son out of his car. And he's grown up and helped him do a lot of things. And now he's over in Louisiana and he is doing wonderful things. He came to know the Lord and he calls almost weekly and says, Brett, thank you so much for everything you did. All the things you did 10 years ago are now happening. Now I'm putting them into practice. And I've broken down in tears. He likes to leave me those audio messages. He's a truck driver, and he's out and driving. He just leaves me messages and is, you know, calls me now and shares Bible verses and it's so wonderful that something that I did a long time ago was able to help somebody, right? And I think back on the people that were lights to me as well. I remember when I was young, I had a Pastor Roger. And he was very influential on my life, you know, being a man of Christ and a man of God, and kind of lost track with him. But, you know, I think back to everything that he did. So, right, when we get back to what we're talking about here is sharing God and being lights, you know, that's all we can do. If we go into Monday's lesson is titled Light in a Dark World. So this continues of what we're talking about here, right? As Christians, we are, you know, we're living in a very, very dark world. It's sad, the state of the world. But at the same time, it's very easy to shine our light because we really don't have to do too much to be able to be noticed as Christians, as believers. And we can stand out very easy in this world without doing a whole lot. The lesson has us look at a couple of verses here. The first one that it touches on is Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, which what I've found in this world is very hard to do. It's hard to not complain sometimes. It's hard to not argue sometimes. But as we're talking about sharing the word of God, this is very, very important for us because we can't shine our light when we're just complaining the whole time. If we're just complaining about the church, if we're complaining about our family, if we're complaining about everything, that we're not able to shine any light. Right? It's like putting that basket over that candle. We can't shine if we're complaining. And we all know those people that constantly complain. Don't get me wrong. I complain. We do, especially when we're with fellow brothers and sisters. We need to vent and stuff like that. But we don't need to vent to people who are trying to shine. To vent to a pastor, vent to one of the elders or one of the deaconesses or something like that. We can vent to each other. But at the same time, we need to be lights to each other because we need to be able to help out each other. And if we look into this interaction and what Paul is talking about here, Paul is talking about introducing Timothy, introducing all of these people, sharing and talking. We see this kind of community as we go through this quarterly. We see this community of like-minded people and people that love each other and help each other. So sometimes we need to be lights even to each other, right? Lift each other up. We're all going to go through things. But nobody loves a complaining Christian. Nobody's going to listen to a complaining Christian. So we need to kind of think about that, right? And we've all been around those people that complain all the time. And you just don't want to be around them. So if we're going to be out there doing this work, that's the first thing that Paul kind of tells us to do. Don't be a complainer. You can't shine your light. And then the other one is very, very important too, is disputing, arguing. We can't be argumentative. Nobody is going to want to have a Bible study with somebody who is always just arguing about everything. And we all know those people. I've got teenagers right now, and they are very argumentative. Not in a bad way. They're good kids, but right, they challenge things. They want to talk about things. They want to argue their opinions. But when we're out trying to shine light, it's not time to be disputing things. And you're wrong. I'm right, you don't know, right? All of these things, we need to really watch what we're doing and how we're doing things when we're trying to share Christ with everybody. It's hard. People, when we talk about God, when we talk about salvation, when we talk about a lot of these important topics, people can get very argumentative about it. And we all, you know, we all have our ways of thinking. We all have different denominations, right? Our Seventh-day Adventists, we're a little bit different on some of our fundamental beliefs than some of our fellow Christians. But in order to shine our light, we're not supposed to argue about it. We can't, you know, we need to, there's a fine line in sharing a belief and how they're different and then arguing about it, right? So very good, counsels from Paul right off the bat when it's talking about this. And Paul continues in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, after he says, do all things without complaining and disputing, he says, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So, right after what we talked about is don't be complaining and argumentative Christians, he goes on and says that we need to be blameless and harmless, right? So, in these verses, it says that we should be something and that we should do something. It says here that we should be blameless and harmless. And then the do part of this is that we need to shine our light for him. So those are the two things. If we look at these verses, that's what it is calling us to do. No complaining, no arguing. We need to be blameless and harmless. And if we look at blameless and harmless, what that means is blameless means to be faultless. Or to be kind of without disappointment. We don't want to be disappointing. We want to be to be good and without fault in what we do. And then harmless means not to be unmixed or to be pure. So if we look at this, it says God wants us to be pure, faithful, faultless, good, wonderful followers of him. That's what he's calling us to do. That's what it means to be blameless and harmless. And you know, which if you're looking at this, it's not very hard. It's pretty simple. And it's really not hard to stand out in this world today and be representatives of Jesus, right? If we're nice to somebody, people either thank us and go, oh, thank you for being so nice. Or they go, what are you trying to get? What are you getting out of this? Right? Because everybody is taken advantage of. There's all these types of things. So just being kind to people is one way of being this. Going out of your way to help somebody, showing kindness, being a good listener, sharing a Bible verse with somebody, sharing a little part of the health message to help somebody get through some illness maybe they're going through. All of these things I just mentioned are very simple things that we can do. But it shines a big light more than we actually think in this world, because this world is so dark. You would think that just one kind act wouldn't really mean so much, but in today's world, it means something. I started a Bible study with somebody, a new lady and a gentleman. They're planning on getting married soon, and they want to give their lives to Christ and be more in the church. So I was honored to be able to start a Bible study last night. And she told me that she was rushing to get out of work, to be able to get out of work, to grab a bite to eat, and to come to the Bible study. So she stopped at a place and was getting a burrito bowl. And she slipped and fell. 5 o'clock at night, the place was full. We don't need to mention the place. The place was full of people, and a young girl in her mid-20s fell. Nobody helped her up. Nobody said, are you okay? Right? None of those things. The world doesn't do it. And I asked her, did somebody take out their phone and take a picture of you or a video? Because that's what people do. So to be able to shine as lights in this world, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to shine as a light in this world today. And then if we look at, verse 16 on what we just went over, right? It calls us to be not complaining, not to be argumentative. It calls us to be faithful, to be pure, to be able to be a good follower, to shine as our light. And then at verse 16, it says something that's very interesting. It says that we shouldn't labor in vain, because we can labor and we can do things with the wrong motive. And then in the end, it's not going to matter. Right? In the end, we need to make sure that we are sharing his light and not our light. We don't want to make ourselves look good. We don't want to present ourselves to people. We want to present him to people. Because if all of what we're doing is just for us, for selfish reasons, for recognition, for all that, we're doing this all in vain. In the end, God's going to go, I kind of figured out why you were doing all of these things, and sadly, they weren't for me. They were for you. Right? So these verses, you know, are very important verses, and they can be sad because, you know, none of what we're doing here, in the end, we want to look back at saying, oh, that was all done in vain, right? That was all done for no reason. What I did didn't even matter because I was doing it for the wrong reason. So it doesn't take much to be, like I said many times, it doesn't take much to be a light in this world today. Let's move on into Tuesday. If you have your lesson with you, turn over into Tuesday. And the title of Tuesday is A Living Sacrifice, right? And what Paul is talking about in this chapter here and what we're going to go over is that Paul was ready to give his life for the purpose. He was like, hey, if I'm doing this and I die, I'm good with that. I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing. He was ready to sacrifice his life, everything he had, to be able to continue to share that light, the light of Christ, right? So then we need to kind of, you know, take back and look at this, you know, when we go over these stories, kind of think back, you know, are we ready to give our lives for him? Like really die for him? Because sometimes, I don't know if some of you are like me, sometimes I even struggle with bringing up God around certain people and in certain settings. And if I struggle with even bringing him up, how do I expect myself to give my life for him? Right? I think there are different times and different circumstances. And first we need to start getting over. We can mention him and talk about him anywhere and everywhere. And for the most part, I'd like to say I do a decent job about that. But then there's sometimes in some occasions where I'm just like, I'm just staying quiet in this area right here for different reasons. But Paul, he was ready to give his life. Didn't matter who he was talking to, if he was talking to a king or if he was talking to anybody, it didn't matter to him. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, it says, yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Paul also says in 2 Timothy 4, 6, he says, for I am ready, already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. The lesson also brings us to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your responsible or reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So one way that we can share our faith and be lights is through sacrifice. Right? Paul's willing to give his life, but there are also other sacrifices that we can give. We can give up our lives when we're called to do that, if we are called to do that. Some people have. We read stories about some Christians that have. They gave up their life to be able to shine and to be examples to other people. We can give up our time, right? We can sacrifice our time. Time is precious, 24 hours in a day. 8 hours, at least of those, we need to sleep. Other hours, we need to work, right? We have very little time, but we can sacrifice our time. We can sacrifice our resources, what we have. We can give. We can help. There's a lot of ways that we can sacrifice, and we need to be a living sacrifice. And people take notice. They notice when you sacrifice. They appreciate it. when you sacrifice time, money, resources. In the second to last paragraph of the lesson, I just want to read straight out of the lesson because I like what it says here. It says, as early Christians, including those in Philippi, were acting and sharing their faith, they went spreading the gospel from house to house. They opened their homes for the study of scriptures, and they were able to give reasons from the scriptures for what they believed. Our Adventist pioneers did the same. Rather than rely on pastors to spread the message to their neighbors, they shared their faith. They gave Bible studies. They prepared people so that they would be ready for baptism when the minister returned. So we look here through the example of Paul and what we're going over in his group, and we see what the early Christian church does and what our pioneers did in the Adventist church is they shared the message by opening up their houses, from going house to house, opening up houses, studying the scripture with others, preparing others also to share the scripture, right? There was this whole community working together in this beautiful, wonderful way. Without being selfish, they were pulling resources together. It was not theirs, it was ours, right? There was this wonderful work that was being done. And it was very successful. The early church was very successful in baptisms and bringing people to Christ and taking people out of the world. When the Adventists started as well, they did the same thing, house to house, working, looking in barns and meeting in public places and sharing literature and all of creating this wonderful, beautiful community. And they were very successful. And then we start to look at, you know, at our church and in our lives, are we being successful? I would say not even close to what our pioneers did, not even close to what Paul did. And in today's world, we don't open up all of our houses. So in order to be able to have success, we have different examples of what we can do, right? In the early church, because today people don't open up their houses like they used to. Isn't it a little scary sometimes to open up your house to strangers? It's a little scary in these days, right? And to be able to get out and open up your houses, to be able to be a place of God, to be able to open up scripture and do all that. And I don't think as an Adventist, as Sac Central, I personally don't think we're going to have much success until we start to work like they used to work. Opening up our houses, having this wonderful community and working in small groups and working individually. They had success and they gave us a very good example with Paul and with our early Adventist pioneers. And we need to kind of follow the same method. Right? What's worked before, it can work again. We can still do things like Central Study Hour, the program we're doing now. We reach a lot of people. We connect with a lot of people. But there's so much more of a community that we can have. But it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take us coming together, pulling together resources to do that. And at the bottom of your lesson, it asks the question. And I'd like to kind of think about that question. And that question is, how much do you sacrifice for his kingdom? It got really quiet. It wasn't loud here, but it got really quiet. How much do we sacrifice for his kingdom? A lot of times we can fall into the trap of only doing what is convenient. But being convenient, yes, we're still doing the work, but there's so much more that we can be doing. So just think about that, right? Think about that throughout this day and think about how much are we really doing for his kingdom? How much are we sacrificing, if any, for his kingdom? If we go into Wednesday, we'll touch on Wednesday real quick. It is on, the title is Proven Character. So proven character and having a good character, I would say today is very important. I think it's always been important, right? To be of good character. and to be a good person, especially when we're trying to reach other people. We can't do some things and then preach and teach on another. We need to be living examples of what we're doing. So Paul here in Wednesday's lesson, he is basically introducing one of his co-workers and basically giving him a letter of recommendation. And that we find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. And I'll go ahead and read that for us. It says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your sake. For all seek their own and not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Verse 22, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as possible. I see how it goes with me." So he is introducing, Paul is introducing Timothy, or reintroducing Timothy. And he's saying that, hey, this guy is like-minded. He's like me. He's like us. Right? Accept him. He doesn't seek his own glory like other people. They seek their own glory. They do it for themselves, but he does this for Christ. Basically says this is a genuine man. He's a man of good and proven character. If we look at the Greek word for proven character, basically what it means is they've been thoroughly tested by trials. And they're genuine. So to be somebody of what the lesson says, proven character, that means that we need to be thoroughly tested by trials. And I think that's how we build our character, right? All the things that we go through. I am not the man today that I was many years ago because I've gone through so many things. And hopefully, I'd like to say I'm a better person than I was before. I've built a little bit of character. I've been humbled many times. Been humbled many, many times. And, you know, what it says there in the lesson too, it is basically you're proven to be genuine. And when we're out there and we're being called to be lights to this world and we are not genuine, the world is going to pick up on it really quick. And we can only do what we're supposed to do by being genuine, by having good character. So we are all called to be light in this world. That means that we're all called to be together, to come together, and to work together. Like Paul and Timothy and many others, we all need to be like-minded. We all need to be serving of our Lord. And, you know, and that's a way that we get to work up and help and train. I'd like to thank, you know, Omar, who was one of my very good friends, who was a very good example for me when I came into the church, right? We have Pastor Mike when I came into the church, Pastor Doug when I came into the church. There were so many wonderful, genuine people that kind of helped me along. My Grace, Seymour, you guys all know these wonderful people. I haven't been in the church as long as these people, but they were wonderful men and women of God that had really came together and helped me become part of a community and to improve myself. So we're not called to be lights alone. We're called to be lights to this world together, right? In a community. On Wednesday, if you're looking at the very bottom question, it says, basically, think about all the hardships, annoyances, and issues in your life. And ask yourself, how have we handled them? Have we endured, and have we been meekly borne? So think about all the things and the issues that we've had in our lives. How have we handled them? Right? We're talking about proven characters. How have we handled these things? Sometimes we'll go through things and go, you know what? I did not handle that right.
I'm a parent. I work. I have a job. I'm one of your brothers here at church. I don't handle everything perfect every time, but hopefully every time we get to continue to get better and better and work together to build our character. I want to skip over Thursday because we don't really have too much time for that. And a lot of times we don't necessarily touch on Friday, but on Friday there's always these wonderful passages from the Spirit of Prophecy, and I would like to read the second one that is in Friday's lesson. So if you open up Friday's lesson to the second paragraph, I'll be reading that because I think it's really important. And this comes from Testimonies of the Church, Volume 5, page 81 and 82. It says, "The time is not far distant when the test will come to every soul. The mark of the beast will be urged upon us. Those who have step by step yielded to worldly demands and conformed to those worldly customs will not find it a hard matter to yield to the powers that be. Rather than subject themselves to derision, insult, threatened imprisonment, and death. When multitudes of false brethren are distinguished from the true, the hidden ones will be revealed to view. With Hosanna ranged under the banner of Christ, those who have been timid and self-distrustful will declare themselves openly for Christ and his truth. The most meek and hesitating in the church will be as David, willing to do and dare. The deeper the night for God's people, the more brilliant the stars. Satan will sorely harass the faithful, but in the name of Jesus, they will come off more than conquerors." So if you would like a free CD or DVD of this lesson that we went over today for yourself or for somebody else, please reach out to us. You can call us at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us your name, your address, where we can ship that out, whether you'd like a CD or DVD. And then last of all, give us the offer number, which is C202-605. So thank you so much for joining us here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church for Central Study Hour.